You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum. He's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less. And Greg sounded worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew. We got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Boog was delighted to see Rizzo pitching. Why would you spoil a moment where a guy, anytime, it's always funny. There's no other reason to watch a 10-0 game other
it's
than...
It's funny when you're not running a team.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? I'm worried about injury. I'm worried about the position player getting injured, period. We would not allow. When Ichiro pitched for us in 15, Dan Jennings never told us. We almost fired him on the spot.
Is that right?
Almost on the spot.
Because you have a rule?
He can't pitch a position player without telling us first.
So you did have a rule. He knew the rule and he ignored the rule? Or
yeah, because he wanted to be so in with the players. And he wanted to give Ichiro that moment, knowing it was his last game.
The only time I remember a position player getting injured pitching was Jose Canseco blew out his arm trying to throw knuckleballs.
Yeah. So it's not that I'm trying to ruin the fun. It's just people... I'm looking at it from a different perspective.
And are they crushing you? Everyone right and left, you're used to this. Are they crushing you?
It's just people don't get it, that I'm the fun police. I'm the op. Can you imagine me being the fun police? It's the f***ing opposite.
David, I'm just curious, how would you handle a player like Ohtani then?
Well, Shohei Ohtani, when he came to the big leagues, he was very clear that he wanted to be both ways. He wanted to hit, he wanted to pitch. And Major League Baseball was clear that you can sign Ohtani, but you better not promise him anything, either from how he'll play to how much you'll pay him once he becomes a free agent. And we always thought the Angels had a pre-done deal with him because everyone was in the same boat back then. We could offer him $2.5 million around as a signing bonus. The posting fee was $20 million. So it was not just the Yankees or Red Sox or Angels involved. It was all teams. And remember, the Yankees freed up money to try to sign him. The Marlins freed up money to try to sign him. And he ended up choosing LA. And baseball did a memo right after he signed saying, listen, you sign Ohtani, but we're going to be watching. If you have a pre-done deal with him, there will be consequences. So Ohtani joins the Angels. They don't make the playoffs. They stink. He has Tommy John. And I get how interesting he is to pitch. No one since Babe Ruth pitches in bat second. I understand he's got a great splitter. I understand he's got a great fastball, blah, blah, blah. But if you're the Angels, you have to make a choice. He's not Babe Ruth. There is no one who's Babe Ruth because pitching is different today. And if you want a great player, then you've got to choose. And I would choose either to have him hit or to have him pitch, but definitely not both. It'll be interesting to see whether or not this decision by the Angels pans out.
How in the minority are you on that? If you had to take a poll of teams and ask them, would you play him both ways or would you make him choose? Where do you think that would end up?
I'm in the minority. I'm in the minority because what most people would say is when they're on a 2 or 3 year contract, I'm not worried about the future. That's the problem with GMs or managers on short-term deals, that they're incentivized for the now. And in baseball, it's critical not just to focus on the now, but to focus on the later. And you have to be super careful. And the game is so different now. You know, Ohtani's not throwing 87. He's throwing 98. That is not normal. No matter what your body is, no matter how bionic your arm is, Only Lee Majors and Sid Finch can throw consistently at 100 over the course of a career and do it without getting injured.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Do you know who either Lee Majors or Sid Finch is?
What can you tell us about posting fees in Major League Baseball and how that comes about? Is this something that is often renegotiated, David? Is this something that certain clubs are vehemently opposed to? It seems as though it's advantageous to the bigger clubs.
Yeah, the big markets were very opposed to the change that baseball made with the Nippon Professional League. It used to be, remember a guy named Dice K? Might as well put him on the poll, Dan. Guillermo, do you know who Dice K is? When Dice K came to the big leagues and Boston signed him, they gave him like $50 million, and then they gave the team $50 million. And we had no even Japanese scout back in those days, because there was no way we could ever afford to post for any player, because it was the Wild Wild West, largest post wins. A post is when you pay the team. It's got to, I think it's like the EPL, Mikey, isn't it? Where the team gets paid.
Soccer.
Like soccer, where the team gets paid and you're then allowed to take the player, but you also have to pay the player. So what baseball decided to do to try to level the playing field is they made the posting fee no larger than $20 million on the assumption that that would still incentivize Japanese teams to let their players go. But any team can come up with 20 large, which, by the way, is not true, but let's just pretend it is. But then they also capped international signing bonuses. That was the biggest problem that Boras had an issue with and other agents, because it used to be you could pay an international player anything you wanted. Now you have about a $5.5 million slot, and that's all you can spend on an international player.
What's the pushback from the players' union? I imagine they're against any cap whatsoever, but that seems kind of unfair that you can pay an American or someone here in North America or the Caribbean anything you want, but in Asia you have to cap it.
So when I spoke to players about the cap and about the draft slotting and about all these different things that their union would tell them not to be in favor of, and I explained to the players, it's a zero-sum game. And it's very binary. If we have to give more money to drafted players who likely are not going to make it, let's say you have a 50-50 chance, our major league payroll is going to be lower and you're going to lose money. If we slot the drafted players, we limit the international signing bonuses, that leaves more money for you as a major league player.
Do you have a good story about the Marlins coming close on some international guy and just missing?
The closest we came was Orlando Cespedes. We brought him to Miami. We had dinner with him at Smith and Wilensky. We sat him by the water, and he was with his agent, who was a guy named, he was Hanley's agent and working for Wasserman. And we had a meal. He didn't speak much English. We actually flew to the Dominican with Jeffrey. We got on a plane and flew to watch him work out. And it was hilarious because he was throwing balls from home plate to the outfield, and he had an arm like Ichiro, and he was taking batting practice, hitting home runs, and we're all going, wow, this is amazing, wow, and it's such horse crap, right? You can't tell one thing from a workout. It's completely fixed, but we still wanted to try to sign him because we thought he'd help us, and it's not the end of the world in terms of improving your team on the field to get an international player. So we made a bid. We thought we had a deal, and the Oakland A's came in like a dollar above us. And we thought Miami was the place because it was so close to Cuba and all the Cubans here, which, by the way, is the biggest joke that everyone thinks that everybody in Cuban players want to play in Miami. They want to play where they get the most money. Cespedes went to Oakland for like $1.50 more.
It's Yoenis, not Orlando. And
oh, sorry.
No,
thank you.
No, that's okay. And the workouts, what you just said there, you might not be able to see anything in those workouts, but why have them? Scouts can see something in those workouts, can they not?
No, they just say they do. Like Anibal Sanchez is about to sign today. He's a major league player who pitched for the Marlins, that no-hitter that in the times of replay would not have been a no-hitter when Eric Burns was safe at first on the throw from Hanley, who took his time with two outs in the ninth. Not that I remember that, but I do. And it was unbelievable. We're watching a no-hitter happen. Hanley takes a ground ball and does it so lazily on the last out of the game. We wanted to murder him.
Did he smoke a cigarette? Did he smoke a heater?
I swear to God, he took a drag. I was so mad watching him just casually do that. Oh, my God.
I can't believe you remember that, Mikey. That's great to me.
What is the angriest you ever were or the team ever was with Hanley?
When he loafed after a ball from shortstop into short left field and allowed a runner to score, and Freddy Gonzalez wanted to bench him. Jeffrey was concerned that doing that would cause an issue because Hanley has an attitude, and there was a possibility that he'd sink the clubhouse. And we convinced Jeffrey, and we won the day, saying that you've got to bench him. because otherwise you're going to lose the clubhouse and then you'll have a much bigger problem than disciplining him.
How did he take to that?
He really didn't care. I asked him. We made him apologize. He met the team. He met Freddie. Jeffrey spoke to him. I spoke to him. The thing with Hanley, and I love Hanley. You know, we had Hanley from 06. He was a kid, and he was a big part of that trade coming back from Boston for Beckett and Lowell. And that was Anibal Sanchez, too, by the way. But Hanley always just had a different way about him. He just became really, really cocky. His idol was Manny Ramirez, and we just lost him. That's the problem. We lost Hanley, and we ended up moving on, and we signed him. Remember when we were opening the ballpark and we signed him to a long-term contract and we did it on the grounds of construction of Marlins Park? And we thought that that would be the impetus for all sorts of season ticket holders and corporate sponsors and naming rights, and no one gave a crap.
What percentage of the time would you say that you would be running counter to Loria and the group would be able to talk him out of something like that?
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
I'd say it was 90-10.
Which way?
So 10% of the time we had to just give in, and that we just called it owner's prerogative. But 90% of the time we were able to get past the emotion. The key, and all owners are like this, they make decisions based on emotion after a loss or after a win. And that was my 30-minute rule that I've discussed with Mike, I believe, where I wouldn't make any decision within 30 minutes of a game. Because if you win, you think you're the best. And if you lose, you think you're the worst. So just take 30 minutes before you do anything.
It is going to take Mike Ryan a minute to get a production element here that will give weight to the question that I am asking. But I am going to ask you right now the top five Marlins problem children, going from the bottom to the top during your entire time with the Marlins, because I want to see if Hanley makes this list or if Hanley is at the top of this list. So the fifth Marlin that was a problem child during the tenure of David Sampson, as I put him on the spot and I filibuster so that Mike can give this the radiant fanfare and fireworks that it deserves, because it's a controversial list. Number five, David Sampson.
First of all, this is not rehearsed, so I'm hearing about this for the first time. So thank you so much for that. Jeff Baker is number five.
Wow, a surprise there. Mike's reaction is the right reaction. What was Jeff Baker doing?
Wait a minute, we waited for that? That was the production
That's
element?
That's correct, and it took a long time to find. I'm overtaken with emotion.
Was tied up in litigation for months, David.
I don't know what's weaker, your fanfare or your fifth name, Jeff Baker.
No, I am so happy with Jeff Baker. Why is Jeff Baker on this list?
Jeff Baker almost ruined Christian Yelich's career. We put, by accident, Jeff Baker in a locker next to Christian Yelich, and Jeff Baker was a front office hater, an ownership hater, didn't want any of us around, didn't want any of us to be involved at all, told Christian Yelich, don't do anything for them, don't be in the community. And Christian Yelich started listening to him by force, and Christian Yelich became a baby, a pain in the ass, a jerk, which is not Christian Yelich. He's the greatest guy, one of the top five players I'd been around, and for that year, he became a nightmare. So we got rid of Jeff Baker, and guess what? Christian Yelich went back to what he is, which is a great guy.
Number four.
Heath Bell.
This is going to be a good list if Heath Bell is fourth on it. Number
okay.
No, he's going to provide color to all of these. Go ahead, David.
No, please elaborate. Yeah. I am sorry that I was moving this along. Give us all the elaboration you want.
You just can't wait to get to that fanfare. I know it's impressive, but let's get the story.
I don't know how you got $50 million. I really don't. Like, did DraftKings ever watch any of the shows or listen to any of the shows?
We just told DraftKings, we went into the meeting with DraftKings and they said, what is this worth? $1 million or so? And then we did this. And they're like, $50 million. $50 million.
They actually went 44. No, 45. They
they
kept upping it. On
themselves.
Yeah.
It was
no,
crazy.
46.
I picture the negotiations as you saying, we want $100 million. They say, we will counter with 80. And you say, done at 50.
Are you going to elaborate on Heath Bell or not?
Heath Bell, the reason he's only number four is, again, he was only a year. He poisoned the clubhouse. He poisoned the training staff. He went to players to explain to players the reason he was blowing his saves was because of the training staff, because Ozzie Guillen was not putting him in position to do well, which is ironic because he was a closer. So we put him in position to save games. So I'm not sure how that went. And when he started, he was a guy who was we had high hopes for. And God bless it, he was the worst.
I had a negative Heath Bell experience that just went beyond watching Heath Bell.
We all did.
He was a guy that we actually built a bit of a relationship with even before he came to Miami when he was with the Padres. He was a big-time closer for them, effective, and he was just known as this funny guy, jovial, very personable, good relationship with the media. And I had a personal texting relationship. Hey, come on the show. He bit my head off one time when he was struggling. He's like, no, you guys make fun of me. And this is so rude. And it was just like, whoa, the funny guy, the happy-go-lucky guy is basically a facade. Or maybe he was just really taking to heart his struggles. Who knows? But he was sensitive.
No, he was not taking his struggles to heart. He signed a contract. Do you know Heath Bell? Little known fact here. When we signed him as a free agent in 2012, forget doing a video with Mark Anthony and Gloria Stefan on the board and giving him a jersey. He never visited Miami. He never spoke to anyone. All we know is we gave him, that's when you know you've overpaid for a guy, when they come to you without any conversation at all. And there were two players who did that in my career. And how did they go? Heath Bell and Jared Saltalamacchia.
Number three, David.
A pitcher named Matt Latos.
Wait a second. Chris Cody, you have a story about Matt Latos, don't you?
Yeah, I got a hit off him in high school, David.
Wow.
No big deal.
My guess is, Chris, you would have gotten a hit off him in the major leagues as well. So bad. He came in, and the first time we knew we had an issue with him is after we signed him, his wife called and wanted to get involved in how the release was going to go and how the press conference was going to go and where she'd be sitting and how it would be doing and how we were promoting him. And I just said, listen, do me one favor. I appreciate the fact that I was able to Google you guys and all's great and you've got a social media presence, whatever. Is it possible your husband can just come in and pitch for us? Can we start with that? And it just went downhill. It did not work for us in any way.
He was bad. He was bad for you guys, and he was bad after you. But I feel like he had a couple of really good seasons, and wasn't there one right before he came to you?
Yeah, when we traded for him, he was a year and a half removed from being an unbelievable pitcher for the Reds. We thought that he'd be a great signing, and we ended up. We just got it wrong. We got it wrong, and he just was not a good guy. And I don't think about him at all until you ask me for this list. I actually do not think about him.
It is a great list so far. Number two, David.
Be calm, Miami fans and Florida fans, but the number two was Al Leiter.
Second go-around for Al Leiter, you mean?
Yeah. Let me be clear on that. Thank you. I didn't have him in 97. We brought him back in 2005 when we offered him $8 million for 1 year. He was going to pitch at home. He had little Jack, who, by the way, is going to be the number one pick now in the draft, who pitches for Vandy. Al Leiter comes in. We thought he would be a veteran presence. We thought he'd be perfect. End of his career, he was still impactful. He comes into spring training. He's this nervous Jolieri, which means he was... It's like he had ADHD, and I don't say that badly because many people have it. What I mean it is that he couldn't focus on the game. He couldn't focus on anything other than the drugs he needed to take in order to pitch. He was hurt, which he didn't tell us. He passed his physical. He was completely ineffective. He was not a leader in the clubhouse. He did nothing to help us win. The only thing he did was almost get me and Larry fired, which, by the way, may have been the best thing he could have done, according to you guys. But he was a nightmare. We ended up having to just get rid of him, which we did.
What was that word you used? Was it a Yiddish word? The
Jolieri, a nervous Jolieri is a nervous wreck.
How would Al Leiter at that stage in his career when he's not performing almost get you fired?
Because we put $8 million into a ready burgeoning payroll. That was the time when we had to sign the crappy TV deal to take money up front in order to sign Carlos Delgado and backload his contract, by the way. But that's when we really bulked up, when we had 1-0-3, tried to repeat in 0-4 without Pudge and without Derek, but then brought in Delgado to play first and tried to shore up the pitching with Al Leiter in the rotation. We only needed him to be a middle to back end of the rotation guy because at the time we still had Beckett, we still had Burnett, et cetera. But, and we still had Dontrell. It just did not work in any way.
I remember the papers kind of reporting that there might have been a handshake agreement that while you're playing, you might be a color commentator in waiting. And that was like, so there were salary cap, well, not salary cap ramifications, but there were contractual ramifications by having an agreement like that in place. He was almost going to be a placeholder Tommy Hutton replacement from what I remember reading.
He also didn't want to go on the road. Something that he may not admit to this day, but he wanted a special part of his contract that he did not want to go on all road trips because he wanted to be at home, be with his family, be with Jack. I'm in. I love it. But then retire.
Wait a minute. You're talking not when he played. You're talking about he didn't want to play on in road games that he wasn't pitching in.
Yes, he did have to go to road games that he was pitching in, Dan. You are correct. I'm sorry I misspoke.
No, it's actually not that uncommon with some veteran pitchers. I believe Roger Clemens had this agreement that he wouldn't have to travel to the road if in a three-game road series he wasn't scheduled to pitch.
It's outrageous. You can't give that to a player. You don't know what's going to happen with the game. Back then, games could go 16, 17 innings. You'd need a starting pitcher to pitch out of the bullpen. It just, people, Miami, they want the money, no doubt, but there is an attraction to Miami for the players who live here in the offseason because then they can be with their family who don't have to move during the season. I get that, but I just felt like he stole $8 million from us.
Just so you know, later in this segment, so that I don't catch you quite this off guard, I'm going to ask you your top five weirdest contract requests, and I'm also going to ask you the top five times you almost got fired in some sort of order. But before I do that, we have to get to the very dramatic, and this is very exciting, Mike, because now we find out it'll be very disappointing because it's just Hanley Ramirez, and that's where we were headed all along, or it'll be a surprise. Are you ready?
I actually don't think it's Hanley Ramirez.
I know you know who it is because it's not Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah.
So do you want to play the music?
The number, it's afterward, David. Get it together. This is why they gave us $50 million and not you. The number one problem child in the history of the Marlins is?
My neck tattooed friend, AJ Burnett.
Mike, why are you running around the studio like Tiger Woods after a big
putt? I called my shot. I called my shot here in the studio. Old nipple rings AJ Burnett.
Listen, Lin-Manuel Miranda, you called your shot. AJ Burnett was, what a talent. What a talent.
Did you just watch Hamilton?
We had him too young. Well, you said you called your shot. I'm not going to waste my, whatever.
I'm not throwing away my
remember
shot.
That song?
Yeah.
Remember that
song? Yeah. Oh, brilliant. You know about it, right? Your favorite musical, Dan? You better admit to me you watched it last week. I know you.
I didn't watch it last week. Not only did I not watch it last
week. Why'd you pull two Hamilton references?
I don't know.
Random.
Well, no, because I
this is weird. This is like the Udonis fist pump.
I don't know what the second one was, but the Aaron Burr reference is something that someone had made to me earlier in the show.
Oh,
that somebody
how great
wanted
was
something.
He? A revelation.
Because they were in the room. I don't know what was the
when
second
it happened.
Reference. I know, but what was the
it was
room?
Aaron Burr, sir.
What was the second thing that I did that was Hamilton related?
Well, it was just super ambitious, you know, like making a historical musical with an all-diverse cast. It was. You watch Hamilton.
I didn't watch Hamilton.
I know it.
Regardless.
Are you denying that you've seen Hamilton?
No,
Dan?
I have seen Hamilton. No, but he's saying I saw it last week or 2 weeks ago when I made two Hamilton references. No, I have seen Hamilton. I wouldn't know the references if I hadn't seen Hamilton.
The Hamilton references have been nonstop.
The fifth weirdest contract request. The fifth weirdest contract request David Sampson has ever gotten is?
This is a tough one, and it's so nice of you to do this
to me. Wait, whoa. Provide the color towards AJ Burnett being number one. Come on, old nipple rings.
We had AJ Burnett as a young kid, and he was extremely cocky. He had an electric arm. He did not want to be managed, did not want to be coached. It was very difficult for pitching coaches other than Brad Arnsberg to relate to him, and I totally understand why. That was the lowest common denominator. AJ ended up getting a World Series ring, which shocks me with the 09 Yankees. He ended up becoming a leader with Toronto, which made me happy because he grew up. But with us, he was just so immature, and he didn't care. That's the problem, and he was hurt. Remember 03? He did not pitch for us. He got hurt early in 03. And I look back on that as one of the reasons why we won the World Series, because he was not around. That's how bad he was to have in the clubhouse.
That is one of the few times where you guys took someone who had ostensibly a value and simply just waived him, right? I remember before the end of the season, you guys are like, just get out of here. Whatever. We'll pay you the rest of what we owe you. Please just leave.
Well, he was going to be a free agent. I mean, you have to give context to that. He was going to be a free agent, and we weren't going to sign him, and we weren't going to tender him, if that even was around back then, which I can't remember. We weren't going to do anything. We just let him walk, and to keep him around for the last few weeks of a season made no sense at all, because he hurt way more than he helped.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
One quick callback before we get to the next top five list, David. The Hanley Ramirez, this whole top five started with Hanley Ramirez, and you said you told us the story of the most angry you were with him when he loafed and Freddy Gonzalez wanted to bench him. Where does him lying to you about being okay with a positional change after you signed Jose Reyes line up with that? Were you angry, or was that Hanley just being Hanley?
Hanley being Hanley, that's a Tuesday. I'm angry with myself, not Hanley, because I should have known better. And I was so excited with the moves we were making, so excited to open the new ballpark. Back then, you have to remember, we were opening this great ballpark. This was before the Beacon Council nightmare that I had. This was before all of the problems. We had gotten through the lawsuits. Billy Corbin was being semi-quiet. I mean, everything was really going okay. We had gotten Ozzy. We were signing all these free agents. And I just wanted to believe Hanley. And I was sitting outside a steakhouse, I think in Buenos Aires, at the World Polo Championships. And I'm talking to him, and he promised me that he was fine. And I totally believed him. And I regret being so gullible, but it certainly taught me a lesson.
So let's do a couple of more of these top five lists where we just throw these things in David Sampson's face and make him recall his entire Marlins career and put things in order, a specific order, with no preparation whatsoever. The fifth weirdest contract request anybody made while he was with the Marlins was?
Convicted felon Justin Wayne needed first-class airplane tickets for his family to visit him from Hawaii, and he was signing out of Stanford for several million dollars. We told him to pound sand, and his agent got angry, and then Jeffrey got angry with us because we wanted to sign Justin Wayne, and we were forced to give in, and it actually was in his contract, and he may have thought we wouldn't keep track, but we certainly did keep track. Of course, he's not flying to Hawaii any longer.
So you gave him what?
We gave him about 8 first-class tickets for his family who lived in Hawaii to come watch him pitch. And our view was, for the amount of money he would make net, especially signing in Florida with that signing bonus, that he could afford to send his own parents to watch him play.
Number 4, according to David Sampson.
I love you, Ichiro, but you drove me crazy with your equipment. Ichiro demanded that we had special workout equipment at both spring training and at our facility in Miami, and we had to buy a trailer to put in spring training. We actually had this trailer, this sweaty, disgusting trailer outside the spring training clubhouse that had all this crazy equipment that he had to use. And I didn't know Ichiro at the time. I'd never met him, and I thought it was outrageous, but it was made very clear to me, without workout equipment, as specific, and I don't mean weights, I mean special equipment, and I don't mean small equipment. I'm talking huge machines. If you were ever in the dugout at Marlins Park, there's a ramp that is a American with Disabilities Act ramp that gets from the dugout to the clubhouse. We put the equipment on the ramp in total violation of that ADA requirement, but we couldn't fit it anywhere.
Am I remembering this wrong? Ichiro was going to be a bench guy. Ichiro didn't come in here as a starter, did he?
No. That's the funniest Ichiro story of all time, when we interviewed him to be a fourth starter and he gave us like a 2-minute answer in Japanese whether or not he's willing to play fourth outfielder, and then the translator said yes and I lost my mind. I was like, you said more than that for sure. Come on, man. And so he repeated it, but then he got into the equipment. Just negotiating the entire contract with Ichiro was very, very difficult. And what I learned after is that for Ichiro, he let other people do that. And he made his agent clear what he wanted. And he did not mean to upset anybody. He just said, if you can do it, great. If not, I'm not going to be a Marlin. And thank God we gave in.
Number three, David.
Number three is what we talked about last week that somehow got attention. I have no idea why anyone cares that Barry Bonds was a crappy hitting coach. But his contract requirement for money was so outrageous, him thinking that he deserved that extra $1 million and us having to put a separate contract together, that has continued to bother me to this day.
Number two.
Hideki Araba with the Expos requiring extra time to smoke cigarettes before team flights. That was a real winner.
That is great.
A heater.
And number one,
it's so good. Don't just run by Harabu doing that. Can you imagine that comes up, that he has to talk to us, that when we are trading for him, that it's being made very clear that the team plane has to be altered so he can have his cigarettes?
A couple of lung darts.
Number two. Or was that number two?
That was.
It was number one.
Number one.
That was two.
You were in the room where it happened.
The number one most outrageous contract request was when I was negotiating with Jeffrey Lurie and demanded that he put into my contract that I had the right to do the Dan Le Batard show. And he basically said to me through his lawyer that that is not happening. Not only will I not allow it in your contract, but if you choose for that, you will be choosing Le Batard over your career in baseball. It's your choice.
And look at how it worked out, David.
$50 million.
It's unbelievable that this was in your contract, that this was a conversation in your contract. Incidentally, for those of you who do not know, we will get to the top five times that David Sampson was almost fired in a second. But David Sampson, I'm really kind of surprised, Mike, that he's on with us this week because of how angry he was. We haven't even talked Oscars with him, that we used Adnan Virk, Metal Arc Media, as our correspondent on the Oscars when that's been his lane for many years around here. So I'm legitimately surprised, even though Dave is not sensitive, he does care about that stuff. I'm surprised he hasn't mentioned it already, or the Oscars for that matter.
Well, I'm not talking movies. I'm not reviewing a movie. I'm on complete strike. I'm happy to help you out and do your show because you have to show DraftKings that you're worthy of $50 million. But I'll tell you right now, Adnan's a great guy. But if you think that he corners the market on movies because he has a pod called Cinemime or Cinephobe or Cinephile, and you think that it's better for your audience to hear from him and not me, then to me, I find that to be laughable. But listen, you run the show because you got $50 million.
So wait, so you're boycotting doing a movie this week or reviewing anything in the Oscars for us this week?
I'm not discussing one thing with movies with you. You don't deserve it. You don't care. You could have reached out and said, hey, it's special because it's Monday, like every other year that you've done. But no, now Adnan is on your pirate ship. And so therefore you put a little patch on his eye and you think that he's enough for your audience. That's fine.
Mike, is he right about this? Because
I don't know what he wants us to do. David, your great podcast, Nothing Personal, it's not part of Metal Arc Media. I don't even think it's up for grabs right now. We can't pay a posting fee for it. You're an employee of CBS. I can't get you over here. You're going to have to respect that we brought Adnan aboard.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Mikey.
It's better that way. Anyway, regardless, you guys should just know that David Sampson is withholding now his Oscar opinions. I actually wanted to talk to you about Oscar stuff. All right, number five. Five reasons that David Sampson almost got fired by the Marlins, the five times he came closest to being fired. Number five, David.
When I told Jeffrey that it was going to be Ozzie Guillen should not get the fourth year, and he told me that Ozzie Guillen had already been promised the fourth year, and I said, Jeffrey, it is not right what you're doing, and it's going to cost us. And he said, David, the deal is done. Just go sit there, pretend you're interviewing him, and then start getting along with him.
And I know some of you, if you've listened to every David Sampson episode, may have heard some of these stories. But if you're listening for the first time, it's a great consolidation of some of the funny stuff that happened in his career. Number four, David.
David, do me a favor. If you say one more bad thing about Scott Boras to anyone within baseball or on the air, you are going to lose your job.
Whoa. Ooh. Was that CBS that told you that?
No, that was Jeffrey.
Why did he do that? He didn't think you should be fighting with him?
Jeffrey had a good relationship with Scott Boras because Scott Boras only wanted to deal with owners. And I told Scott Boras that if you want to get deals done with our team, then you've got to work with me and Larry or me and Mike. And Scott Boras said, no, I don't. I get deals done with Jeffrey. And there's not much I can say about that. So I said to Jeffrey that you are hurting our chances and you're overpaying players. And he said, I'm the owner. If you continue to do what you're doing with Scott Boras and make him angry, then you are not going to have a job.
Wow. Did you have anyone else like that? Anyone else who would be a nemesis like that, where your guy is choosing the wrong side that overtly?
Yes, that's number three.
Okay, there are more of these. Okay, I didn't know that these were all in this realm. Let's go. What's the next?
Well, hold on. When you're the president of a team, the only one who can fire you is the owner. So how would they not be in this realm?
Oh, because I thought there might be other reasons why you almost got fired, that it would be some other thing that didn't happen. It didn't have to always be the owner that you that because
who else would fire me?
Well, but no, but why would he be choosing? No, I'm saying that the decision, something could happen with someone else in the organization that, oh, who cares? Number three.
Number three is when I was accused of having a taped conversation where I was accused of being a racist. And this was years and years ago. Someone tried to extort me, and it ended up being a story that was written. We lawyered up, and it was someone imitating me. It was me on a phone call with Scott Boras where I referred to Marcelo Zuna with a very negative racial slur, except it wasn't me. And we got the tape, and we ended up almost suing the paper who was going to run it, which was, I want to say, it was the Miami New Times, of course. And we got them to send the actual audio to the lawyers, and it was made very clear that it was not me. So they ran the story with someone who sounds like David Sampson. So they got to say my name, but Jeffrey was very clear that if that had been me, I was going to be fired. Now, the funniest part of that story is that when we were warned about what was going on, we were told it was either the owner or the president. So at that time, Jeffrey and I were in a complete panic. What did someone overhear? Because inside a clubhouse, inside meetings, if someone is taping something, there's going to be a problem. I admit it. I was not behaved inside a clubhouse or on phone calls where you're with a bunch of guys talking about baseball. So Jeffrey and I are waiting to get the video. Jeffrey is in Miami. We have PR people. We have lawyers. The video gets sent to us. The audio gets sent to us. We play it. And Jeffrey, I'll never forget his face. Bless his heart. I love the guy. He was so happy that it was not him and that it was me that I cannot even tell you.
You've got two better than that because, Mike, if you don't remember the details of this story, okay, this is the controversy that David Sampson is headed into a room in. The Miami New Times is saying it is about to report that either the owner or the president of the Marlins has been on tape recorded saying some horrible thing in a clubhouse. So now you've got everything you've ever said in a clubhouse and you're walking into a room with the fear of, well, what do they have on us? What did I say in a clubhouse that they have?
Just journalistically, when someone says, hey, we either have the owner or the president, I'm already starting to think there are holes in this operation.
Okay, but that's not how it played out if you're gripped by fear. This is before the recent movements, right? Like just this is at the start of you do not want this attached to your name and there would be great fear involved. What inappropriate thing have I said on tape?
I can't imagine that week of taking inventory of what's been said
in a clubhouse.
That's correct.
So now I want you to imagine Samson and Loria walking into the reporter's questions with this great fear of what the hell do they have? And now what he hears Loria does is not his voice. And David Sampson looks up and just sees joy on Loria's face that it's not him. I want you to explain to me that moment because I can't believe that's number three. That is so horrific.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You're not saying your list was times I almost got fired, not times that I was in shock or dismay or no about things that were going on during the course of a career. So that's your fault in asking the question that way. That moment would be number one on myriad lists. But this particular top five, it's only number
Mike,
three.
Imagine, okay? Imagine you and I, okay? Just let's make it you and me under the idea of this is all sort of family. We're walking in horror. What have I said during my lifetime that has been caught on tape that's embarrassing to me? You and I walk into a room and I realize it's not me, and you see me like fist pumping all over the room before I even know what the controversy is. I'm dancing around, yeah, it's not me, without any concern for you whatsoever. Like, it's horrifying. How do you not look at that, David? How do you not look at that and say, man, I can never be a person who likes you again? That is so wrong what just happened there.
I actually still liked him because I didn't want it to be him either. I really didn't. And I didn't want it to be him for purely selfish reasons, because he would have to sell the team. I mean, that's how this was presented to us. This was right around, as I recall, the Donald Sterling situation. And the thought was that if Jeffrey had said something on a phone call or on tape that was this big a racial slur, that he would be forced to sell the team.
Number two, David.
That's you, Dan. You're number two.
Yes, he is.
You are number two.
Dookie bomb.
50 only gets you to number two. I'm so sorry. Yeah, when I was told by Jeffrey that I had to choose between you and the Marlins, and he did that on very many occasions. And unfortunately, when we had our hiatus many years ago, when I stopped doing your show, I chose work and money over you. And it became an issue. But as I got later in my career, when we started again, I didn't care as much, and I made it an issue. But at the initial time, and you know when this happened, because all of a sudden I just stopped being able to talk to you. And to this day, he'll listen to nothing personal and he likes it. He will not listen to any of the stuff that we do. He cannot believe that you started your own company. He cannot believe that someone gave you $50 million. He cannot believe that I spend an hour of my week, if not more, doing a show. What do you want to be associated with that dreck for? I said, I totally get what you're saying.
And the number one time David Sampson almost got fired.
When Jeffrey fired Larry Beinfest and I stormed into his office when he was with his PR person working on a statement, I stormed into his office like a petulant child. And I said that you are simply the worst owner I've ever been around. This is the worst decision you could ever possibly make. And I slammed the door behind me. The PR guy followed me out and he said, David, you understand that you're about to lose your job. And I said, I understand how disrespectful that was, but I cannot believe that we are firing Larry Beinfest. And I had to go back in with my tail between my legs. It's the one time I had to grovel in 18 years was after that, because the others were intellectual disagreements. There was no emotion involved. When Larry got fired, there was emotion involved, and I was completely disrespectful and out of line.
That's surprising to me that you would get emotional, given that you're sort of made of wires. I have a hard time seeing you get emotional.
I cried. When Larry, this is actually what happened. Larry, we had been together for 16 years, every single day, speaking every day, and he was fired unceremoniously. He didn't get a chance to meet the media, didn't get a chance to say goodbye to anyone. He was escorted out of the building. I walked him out of the building with the escort, went to his car, and he parked right next to me in the garage, and I cried because I knew my life was permanently different from that moment on. And I wasn't happy about it, and I was emotional.
We've gone over the family dynamic and the corporate hierarchy of it all. Playing into the family dynamic has to be really difficult to navigate for you. I imagine you have that blow up in his office. The door closes behind you, and Jeffrey Lurie is just sitting at his desk saying, "You'll be back soon, you'll see. You'll remember you belong to me." Da 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 da
da da da da da da. Who's my favorite character? My favorite character in all of Hamilton.
Yeah, he's going to be in The Matrix.
Which I saw just 10 days ago.
You guys knew it! I knew it! You!
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text SUNNY to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text SUNNY to 200-300. That's SUNNY to 200-300. SUNNY to 200-300.